Welcome to today's GDC board meeting press gaggle. All lines are on mute until the Q&A session begins. If you would like to join the queue, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And I will now turn the call over to today's speaker, Steve Sigmund. You may begin.
Thank you. Thanks, moderator. Thank you all for getting on. I know it's been a couple hours since we had the board meeting, so just as a reminder, during today's meeting, we went over the infrastructure bill and potential pots of money from that that could be available to the Hudson Tunnel project, and the change in the loan maturity on RIF loans from 35 years to 75, and you know, obviously, also could be very helpful to the tunnel project since it has a longer life. And then we highlighted the geotechnical work that is going on Block 675 right now, which is necessary to move to engineering on the CIG grant and to doing the vent shaft and fan plant on that site. And lastly, continue to move the commission forward through a code of conduct and procurement guidelines. So I will turn the call over to Q&A. On the line, we have Valpreet Berlverk, one of our co-chairs who chaired today's meeting, and also available is Steve Cohen, our other co-chair, and Vice Chair Tony Kosha, as well as leadership from our partner agencies, New Jersey Transit and Amtrak. Moderator, when you are ready and there are questions in the queue, we are ready to start.
Okay. Our first question comes from Ryan Rivard with Politico. Your line is open.
Hey, thanks, everyone. I'm just wondering when, at this point, there'll actually be shovels in the ground and concrete and all that stuff going on. And secondary to that, when, you know, whether the geotechnical stuff it pushes back anything that we expected in terms of the other financing. So basically, just looking to when there's actually shovels in the ground on the tunnel.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Valpreet Grewalberg here. Thanks for your question. Well, first of all, I have to say and reiterate what Steve just said. It's been an incredible few months, and it's been extremely productive here, especially with the Biden administration that's helped push this project forward, especially by signing the infrastructure bill. And we are making great progress here at GDC. We plan on hopefully engineering next year. That's our intention going into risk at the end of this year, and looking to get our full funding grant at the end of 22, which means you know, we should get a notice to proceed by the year after, the summer after 23. So that's the trajectory that we're looking at, but we've made, again, a great move. As far as the geotechnical boring piece there, I would actually turn to Tony Kosha, if he could brief you on that. He's more closely involved in that area than I am. But, of course, that's something that's well on its way, the analysis of the soil and rock characteristics and everything that goes along with geotechnical boring.
Yeah, I don't have – thanks, Valpreet. I don't think there's much to report other than the fact that I think we're actually going to be gaining ground by virtue of the fact that we were able to get possession of the property sooner than I think expected and been able to begin the work of assessing the site from a geotechnical standpoint. But no, I don't have anything for you that would suggest at this point that there have been discoveries at the site that, you know, would have a negative impact on schedule beyond what Valpreet just outlined. So, but as I said, we're happy that we were able to provide the resources and acquire the site and therefore, you know, get this work started, which, by the way, is also a function of the fact that after having the EIS held up for as long as it was, the fact that it was, in fact, advanced and released gave us the ability to actually begin this early work.
Our next question is coming from Larry Higgs with Starry Ledger. Larry, your line is open.
Thanks very much. My question has to do with Penn South and Governor Hochul's revised Empire /Penn Station redevelopment plan. Basically, what I wanted to find out is how does the decision not to include Penn South in that project affect the entire schedule for an annex to Penn Station? My second question is, since New York State has the power of eminent domain to acquire property needed for Penn South, how is that process going to move forward? Does the Gateway Development Corporation have eminent domain power? And if not, how will the exit of New York affect that project?
To your first point there, listen, we're in contact with Governor Hochul's office and staff every day. In fact, I even met with her this past weekend. And she's often expressed the support for the Gateway program, especially building the new tunnel. And she's also publicly supported the need for a Penn expansion as part of the Gateway program. And we also realize that that's a part of the process as well. And we realize that in order to get this entire transformation done, that we have to also include some of those pieces. But in short, I did want to reiterate that Governor Hochul's office and Governor Murphy's office and all of us here have been working closely together to push this project forward. As far as eminent domain, I will let someone else chime in on that piece. I don't know, Steve, if you want to say anything or if anyone else on the line wants to discuss how that works.
I think we rely upon the various partner members. There are a number of entities in both states that have the ability to exercise the power of eminent domain, and those discussions, I believe, are ongoing. But yes, there is the ability. I think it remains to be seen until we're further along with the project, who, how, and what the mechanism will be.
Thanks. Operator, next question.
Okay, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. The next question is coming from Clayton Gusa with New York Daily News, and your line is open.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking questions. Kind of two-parter, one following up on Larry's question. If Penn South is not constructed, can this project move forward? Does this project, as it stands, rely on an expanded Penn South and the tracks therein? And the second part of that is whether or not Penn South gets constructed, where does the GDC stand, and where do you guys stand as when you're looking at this project in terms of thinking about through-running service at Penn Station, turning it into a through station for NJ Transit and LARRR instead of a terminal station for each?
So, actually, this is Steve Stigman. Let me just clarify this on this Penn expansion question. Look, Penn expansion, remember that the phase one of the Gateway program was always the Hudson Tunnel project, and the Hudson Tunnel project has its own independent utility. It's a very important part of the EIS, right, for reliability, resiliency, and redundancy. And it was always going to the existing Penn Station. Penn South is part of the expansion of capacity that goes along with the larger Gateway program, so that none of that has changed. And as Valpreet just outlined, Governor Hochul has expressed her support for Penn South. What I understand she talked about last week was the modernization being what they are prioritizing at the moment, but Penn South has always been part of the later Gateway program. And the through-running piece, I don't know, Kevin, you may be in the best position to talk about that.
Yeah, sure, Steve. I think that's, still in the planning phase and doing the evaluation. We're working very closely and positively with MTA and Amtrak staff on, the various scenarios of the track layout and, how to maximize the throughput. It's sort of basic logistics. How do you get as many people in and out, at the track level, platforms up the escalators, and then, of course, the stations that go above that. How do you get the passenger flow? And, and also for those, New Jersey Transit doesn't have a real estate interest as MTA does and Amtrak does, but we obviously also are concerned that there is a appropriate station above ground. But the basic logistics below, the throughput, is how do you maximize throughput? And through running trains, obviously, that does get you a station. You can get more passengers through on tracks that are going through than those are at stub end. The turnaround time and the flexibility you have, certainly from a public policy aspect, and the maximize the capacity and potential for the region, it's attractive, but it comes at a cost. And I think those are the kind of evaluations all our planning staff are working at, that balancing the cost plus maximizing the throughput, realizing this is a once every century at best kind of investment. So, but that work is underway, and those evaluations are part of the process that we'll be going through with NEPA, et cetera.
Okay.
Our next question is coming from Stacy Truman from Bloomberg. And Stacy, your line is open.
Thank you. I am wondering about the FDA's review, and if you've been given any indication or how long you think it will take for them to complete their review and give the project a rating.
Sure. I mean, the exact answer, obviously defer to the FDA on that, but what I can say is that we have a great partnership and working relationship with the FDA where we're in constant communication on this, and I think we're also in close contact to answer any of the questions they've had over time and to satisfy the materials that we've given over to them and continue to work towards an improved rating, and I'm hoping that's going to come in the very near future.
Thank you. Next question.
Go ahead.
Our next question.
I'm sorry, Valpre, did I cut you off? I apologize.
I was also going to say that we're currently under review. That's another point that should be made. Oh. So that's never happened before. So hoping to get that to a medium high in the near future.
Our next question is coming from Michael Aronson with Daily News. Michael, your line is open.
Thank you. Just a quick observation and then the two questions. And it's interesting, this is the first GDC meeting where there was no mention of Portal North Bridge. Even Steve Sigmund didn't include it in the phase one. But my two questions, I don't know if Frank Saker's on the line, if someone else could field this. Regarding the RIF loan, are those loans going to be applied by GDC, three different loans, or by the Port, New Jersey, and New York? And what is the status? Have those loans, are there letters of interest been written to the FRA? Have the loans been applied? And my last question is just for Tony Kosha, that it's been more than a year since Tony unveiled the existence of the North River Tunnel Reliability Study. In November, they said it's going to be final in a few days, any day now. On this call on May 12th, Tony said, we are planning to issue a final report, finalizing that report. It's been a year. Is this how Amtrak works? Will that report please come out soon, Tony? So now over to you guys. Thank you.
Frank, you want to talk about the RIF law? Yeah.
Yeah, I can. Michael, hi. It's Frank here. Regarding the loans, yes, in the financial plan, GDC is contemplated as the borrower of the RIF loans from the RIF loan assumption from Build America Bureau. GDC would be relying upon payment streams coming from each of New York, New Jersey, and the Port Authority to enable it to service those loans to Build America Bureau. We're actually preparing the materials now, and we're in dialogue with Build America Bureau, and we're making sure that the cadence of that process obviously has to dovetail well with the grant process as well. Hopefully, I answered your question, Michael.
Okay. Do you have any other questions, operator?
Steve, hold on, because I think...
I apologize, I forgot there was a second half. Sorry about that.
Yeah, and Michael, I know this is an issue you've brought up, and certainly we're both undertaking work and have been, you know, sort of discussing issues with the NRT as we've sort of discovered them, so it's not as though we're looking at this as some sort of black box. As much as we identify things where we can make repairs, we've been scheduling and doing those things to try to keep the NRT as reliable as possible for as long as is necessary before we're able to, through the Gateway program, shut it down completely in order to complete the full rehab of it. But that reliability work continues. We've been discussing, you know, generally what's sort of been happening as things have been going along. That whatever sort of final published report, the process we're going through right now is one that has a redaction, mostly for security purposes, which we're going through, and no, it isn't, that redaction isn't completed yet. But I don't believe there's going to be a whole lot in that report, ultimately when it's issued, that aren't things that we haven't already discussed publicly, and more importantly, actions we've taken and money we've invested to begin projects that would extend the reliability of the tunnel.
Okay, our next question is coming from Stephen Nesson with WNYC. Stephen, your line is open.
Hi there. Thanks for taking questions. My question is, how might Hochul's Penn Station construction project interfere or complicate with the Gateway Tunnel construction work? Can you explain how challenging it might be to have construction on both projects going simultaneously?
I think there, yeah, there's a lot of...
Yeah. Go ahead, Valerie.
No, Steve, I was just going to say there's a lot of work that we're already getting done and underway, and our focus for the next couple of months is really risk and getting all going. But the one exciting piece that, you know, I thought we'd talk more about is just the groundbreaking of Portal North and just the start of that project and having, you know, the having money coming our way, meaning into the capital investment grant programming. But I think, you know, I don't think anything's going to interfere with what we're doing to move forward is what I was going to say. You know, we're planning on, like I said earlier, getting a shovel into the ground in the next couple of years, hopefully. And I don't think there's anything that anyone could really do to hinder that. So I wanted to say that briefly. But, Steve, I don't know which direction you were headed in, so go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe Frank would want to address this at a little greater length, I don't know. But just in terms of your question, Steve, about interference, the tunnel project starts from the Palisades, right, and from the New Jersey side, right, and does the boring underneath, you know, so it's going to take a while to get there. And Penn Station, recall, the first two sections of the concrete casing from Penn Station to 10th Avenue, I think, have already been constructed, right? So those need to be fit out, with tracks and signals, et cetera. So it really doesn't bump up against Penn itself, the construction of the new tunnel. Frank, am I getting anything off there?
No, hi, it's Frank here. I'm not sure I have much to add there. Obviously, the work is going to need to be scheduled out well and coordination and things like lay down areas and what have you. But no, I really don't have much more to add to that. So.
Our next question is coming from David Porter with Associated Press. David, your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. I want to look like way into the future now and envision a time when the new tunnel is built, and then the old tunnel is rehabbed, and then that's finished. Does the Penn South expansion have to be done by then, by the time the second tunnel is rehabbed and both tunnels are, or the existing one, and both tunnels are in service? Does Penn South has to be done by then for the whole thing to work, or maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong.
The answer is no, Dave. Just, and Valfrey or anybody else can expand on this, but just from what I said earlier, just to make it clear, the entire Hudson Tunnel project has utility in and of itself, right, for reliability, redundancy, and resiliency. All four tubes being done in the case of the two new tubes, fully rehabbed in the case of the existing tubes, means a much more reliable, redundant, and resilient 10-mile section and entire Northeast Corridor at its busiest point, right? Penn South is an expansion project on top of that, a capacity project. If anybody wants to add to that. Any other questions, moderator?
Yes, our next question is coming from Larry Hiddes with Star Ledger. Larry, your line is open.
Thanks. Just certainly back to Penn South and to the RIF and TIPA loans on Penn South. So does this mean that Penn South is, excuse me, a gateway project again? And with the RIF and TIPA loans, if GDC is going to be basically writing the checks, and New York and New Jersey are going to be contributing to cover that, how does that count as a local match?
Hey, Frank, you want to take the RIF and TIFIA loans first?
Hi, Larry. It's Frank here. No, I think I'd start by saying we've laid out a financial plan for the Hudson Tunnel project, which GDC is charged with developing that financial plan, which has the RIF loans, maybe TIFIA in the future, we'll see. But we've planned for RIF loans from Build America Bureau, and those loans will be serviced by cash flow streams coming from the port, state of New York, state of New Jersey. So they count as local funding or local commitments for the purposes of the federal grant process. And indeed, that's now. We always interpreted it that way. It's now enshrined in the legislation. With regard to Penn South, honestly, I think that they are still developing their financial plan for that project. So in terms of the sources of grant capital versus financing proceeds, I'm not sure how far along the partners are on that one, and we've really only focused so far on RIF and TIFIA with respect to Hudson Tunnel project.
But Larry, to your basic question, is Penn South a part of the Gateway program? The answer is yes. It's always been part of the Gateway program. If you look at the map that we've had up on our website for 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is, Penn South is part of it, and that hasn't changed. So it has been and remains.
Steve, it's Kevin Corbett. I just may just add in that reaffirm that you are correct first about the tunnel having independent utility, but the 780 expansion where we are is certainly as I said, that's under with staff and planning, working what's the best configuration. So the budget, even the cost estimate at this point, is only is still not even firmed up. Just rough order of magnitude. So. As that process goes along and we get towards phase two, I would say in light of what particularly President Biden recently in his visit here a few weeks ago, that this really, particularly with the bill that's just been passed, gives great momentum to we're planning the infrastructure for the New York is the center of global commerce, the capitalist world, and to have the workforce, to have the infrastructure in place to make sure that it. Not only stays that way, but can continue growing. Larry, as New Jersey Transit already is at maximum capacity, pre-COVID, and our ridership's coming back quickly. You're planning for the next 100 years. You really need to have robust infrastructure for all the commuter rails and the intercity rail, and 780 expansion certainly is an important part of that we're very excited about. But first we have to get the tunnel built.
Our next question is coming from Michael Aronson with Daily News, and your line is open.
thank you. Thank you for the second round for me and Larry. Frank, since you are here, on the RIF loans that GDC is going to seek from the Build America Bureau, is GDC going to be submitting letters of interest, which is a particular step in the RIF process? And what, yes or no, and what is the timetable for those submission of those letters of interest, which is the first step before the full application? So the timetable on the submission of the letters of interest, that's what I'm trying to understand.
Yes. Thanks, Mark. Short answer, yes, we are preparing a letter of interest, and we're developing that material right now. It's, again, I think you've seen the, you know, the details of the financial plan. You were at $6.5 billion roughly of loans, so it's going to be a pretty detailed and comprehensive letter of interest. I'd say I don't want to put a precise time on it because we're still working through that with Build America Bureau, but it's in the next next couple of months, frankly. So we're working on that currently with the idea that it's keeping on a schedule with the rest of the financial plan, so it all comes together at the same time, Michael.
Okay, and our final question is coming from Ryan Rivard with Political, and your line is open.
Thank you. Two things. Balpreet, my phone, there was static the very second you were answering when you expect the notice to proceed. So I wonder if you could repeat yourself. I apologize. And then the second thing is, you know, if you all had your druthers, why, you know, how does it make sense to redo a train station and then add capacity, you know, 100 feet below it, you know, second after you remodeled the thing? That just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Could you talk about that just sort of logically and then practically from a construction standpoint?
Well, to your first point, I won't speak to the construction point, but yes, we're looking to enter into engineering next year. With going into risk at the end of this year, and December next year for full funding, and I'm assuming the year after August, the summer of 23, notice to proceed. And the construction piece, I don't know who wants to take that question, maybe perhaps. Frank, can you speak to that?
I'm glad to. Sorry, broke up there for a second. Which question is that?
The question. Oh, sorry, right. The question is essentially, you know, how do you do Penn expansion? How and why do you do Penn expansion later than Penn modernization?
Look, I think we're focused obviously on the tunnel because. It provides reliability, resiliency, and redundancy benefits for the overall program. I think evidence has shown that we getting the four tubes into Penn Station is going to be important to meet those goals. And the schedule is for it as Bill Preacher said, August 2023 is the assumed notice to proceed date. The completion date for the four tubes is, off the top of my head, I think 2035, and so that provides the time window, if you like, for the work to be done with regard to, you know, Penn expansion and Penn reconstruction. I'm not sure I have too much to add beyond that, to be honest.
Frank or Steve, it's Kevin. Maybe I could just chime in because I think.
Yep.
This is something I touched on earlier. You know, the 780 expansion is critical for increasing capacity for the next century. But obviously, we're going to, you know, Long Island Railroad, New Jersey Transit, Amtrak need to be operating through that whole time. So Penn Station is due for renovation as well. So all that will have a logical sequencing, you know, from constructability, minimizing impact as much as possible on all our customers, you know, and operations. So, you know, you'll do the expansion, and normally in a project like this, you have the expansion, and obviously there'll be buildings or, you know, real estate above that, so that all will tie in, and we're working with, you know, all the three partners are working together on that. and the phasing of the construction, you know, as the program gets determined for existing Penn. You'll obviously have try to do it, you know, a coherent phasing of those projects, and, you know, the financing then would fall in place with that phasing, and, you know, and bid packages, et cetera, would do that. But the main thing is to do the expansion and the renovation in a way that allows, you know, the economy to run, for our services to run, but also trying to cost effectively, you know, execute both the expansion and the renovation in a way that minimizes disruption to, you know, to the customers. It was similar to what we, I think we saw at Grand Central with the, you know, the new tower that was over, you know, on Vanderbilt, One Vanderbilt. So, you know, those are the kind of issues that we're dealing with collectively, and we have a good working group working on that. But that is, as you point out, that's down the line, obviously.
I think everyone has to keep in mind it's not a 2 to 3 year project. We're trying to replace systems that are over 100 years old. And I think always to keep a top mind, our commuters are the top priority as well. So we want to ensure that we build an infrastructure that'll positively impact the future generations of not just New York and New Jersey, but everyone corridor and beyond. But I think, again, you know, to keep in mind that this is not a small feat. And definitely more than a 2, 3, 4 year project. It's a project that really solidifies our entire economy in the next, hopefully, 100 years. So a lot of work going on with all partners, thankfully.
I think that's a perfect conclusion. Thank you, operator, moderator. Thank you, all of you, for being on. And if you have any follow-up questions, please direct them to Craig or I. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's press gaggle. You may now disconnect.